All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to the chat real quick. I see T. McGroin on, S. Clark, 1968, Dane Al, 59, Regina Loves Art, Robin McGroin, Sun Gun, Genesis S. 5V2, John Phillips, Prayer Works 2, Waterline 46, Robin McGroin, Drumming for Jesus, Fedora the Explorer, Support Our Rights, Lynn and Jeff, Sergeant Nick, Jen, One Live Free, Michaels Clark 1, appreciate you guys, Wendy McGroin, all the McGroin Nation, appreciate you. I think we have a record pregame tonight. Thank you, guys. Thank the McGroin Nation. Thanks to everybody on the chat. Really do appreciate you guys. Just a couple things from the pregame so I don't waste too much time because, you know, I'm sticking with a strict, very strict time schedule of trying to be trying to stay under an hour. Now, I have not made it yet except for the nights that I was mandated to be under an hour by the RNC. But anyway, just be ready now. What do we got left? I got August, September, October. So basically 3.5 months, just be ready to be called a racist 5,000 times over the next 3 months, because if you speak out against Kamala Harris, you're automatically a racist. Let's just all go, whether you're black or white, Asian, Hispanic, or anything else, you will be a racist. So let's just go ahead and embrace. That's what they're going to call us. Who cares? We all know it's not true. One other thing, I guess, you know, there's a lot of people got burned to the ground last night. If you're a loser like me and you're actually on Twitter at 2 o'clock in the morning, which I was sitting in the hot tub, but another loser like Aaron, put yourself on real quick. If you know the loser like this guy right here, this other loser.
That's me.
We're texting back and forth about Biden. Aaron thinking Biden was dead. I'm like, I don't know about all that. Put out that he was terminally ill, all these different things. Well, the person that they, and I never believed he was dead because, and let me just stipulate this for everybody. I no longer believe anything.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I mean, with the mask technology that was really refined well, over 30 years ago, 1992-ish, somewhere in there, it was really refined, Mission Impossible sort of stuff. I don't know who's walking around playing Joe Biden. It might be the real Joe Biden. I have absolutely no idea anymore.
Yeah.
I would have laughed at you. 4.5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve ago. I would have laughed at you for saying that. And I was as fervent a right-winger as you possibly could be back then. But now I don't believe anything more. But the person playing Joe Biden, or the person, or the actual Joe Biden, or the person that we're supposed to believe is playing Joe Biden, whatever it may be, did get off the plane and head back to Washington, D.C. from Wahomath Beach, Maryland. And of course, here we are, and I just have to say this again. I'm not going to get to probably any COVID stuff tonight or vaccine stuff. I would like to do some other topics, but it just keeps getting worse every day about the shooting and about now we got Kamala. So whether I'll ever get to anything else for this podcast or the next, who knows, but I'll get to as much as I possibly can. I got a big stack right here, but you know, who knows how far I'll get it. There's a stack of stuff right here.
Beautiful.
But yeah, and that doesn't even count the pregame, the postgame. But anyway, so Biden gets onto a plane today, and here we are. Is it today, the July 23rd or
23rd? 20,
so 23rd,
yep.
2024. And that is, let's see, March, April, May, June, basically 4.5 years ago, 15 days to flatten the curve, Joe Biden has a mask in his hand. As if that, now this is a man who's six times vaccinated, has caught COVID 3 times, has antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome, and he wears a mask, or he's wearing a mask, or he's carrying a mask in his hand. So in other words, he's wearing it whenever he's in close proximity to anybody, as if that does anything. So then the other thing on the pregame, Schumer announcing that they are all fully behind Joe Biden, and claps for himself. I mean, how pathetic is it that you give this sort of exaltation, this very exuberant speech? We are all convalescing behind Joe Biden, And then he goes, and nobody claps, and there's no excitement. This reminds me of when Joe Biden announced whatever he announced to the troops about getting somebody into some school somewhere or getting somebody promoted, and he said, clap for that, you stupid bastards, to our troops.
Yeah.
Remember that one? It just reminds me of all that, because like I pretty much ended the show with last night, these people are completely socially inept because their entire lives, they've never actually held down a job. They don't know how to walk through a checkout line at Walmart. They don't know how to socialize with human beings. They have no idea, because their entire lives, all they've had are their butt kissed and their boots licked, their entire adult lives, and maybe even as children. A couple other things from the pregame, I haven't got to the show yet. So you have Cheadle, of course, finally resigns, the head of the Secret Service. She finally resigns. Should have resigned, you know, the day of, really. And then it took her 10 days to resign. But in the midst of that, Christopher Wray and Alejandro Mayorkas are refusing to testify in Congress. They're refusing to show up and testify voluntarily. So, of course, they need to be subpoenaed, just like Kim Cheadle was subpoenaed. Let's get Mayorkas and Wray in front of Congress. Because here's the thing. If Cheadle has resigned, then her boss also should resign. And sadly, that's not Christopher Wray. It's Alejandro Mayorkas. All right, let's get into some Biden-Harris stuff real quick. Dr. Naomi Wolf video. Now, this has gone out. Everybody was very curious. And Aaron immediately corrected me on this because he's the tech guy. Obviously, I'm not. But this phone call that Kamala Harris got yesterday from Joe Biden, and I'm sitting there going, well, that's proof of life, proof of life. Aaron's like, no, that can easily be duplicated. And I agree with that. I knew his voice could easily be duplicated. Yeah. We're playing all those David Attenborough things all the time on this. And it's exact. I mean, it's like perfect.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, no, Aaron, no. Listen to me. I'm the tech guy. She actually interacted with him. No. You can interact with AI, too, just like that. So here's the Dr. Naomi Wolf video. Can anybody duplicate this? Play for me.
I know yesterday's news was surprising, and it was hard for you to hear, but it was the right thing to do. I know it's hard because you poured your heart and soul into me.
Okay. Let's just go on old 11 Labs and see if that's really all they probably used for this. So, upload. There we go. And let's see what we got. Yeah, looks like they didn't even really try.
Joe, are you watching? You hear this clapping? Can you see it?
I'm watching.
I know it.
And it was very awkward like that. And there were delays. And of course, it also got to the place where she's like, Joe, I know you're still listening. He said nothing. Joe, I know you're still listening. He said nothing. And then ended up replying to her later. Mm-hmm. And then, Aaron, put yourself on. So explain exactly how that would work.
Yeah. So 11labs.com, you can basically upload a audio recording of somebody's voice. And then you can type in a paragraph of what you want it to say. And then you hit basically like a duplicate replicate voice, and it will take the algorithm, make that person's voice that you uploaded as an example, as a sample, and then have it read what you typed with that person's voice.
And you can carry on a conversation because you have somebody on the headphone on earpieces or whatever.
Yes.
Saying, anticipating.
Putting the response, hitting play. Then she says something, put another response, hit play.
Yeah. There you go. Yep. So, I mean, and by the way, here's the problem. Is you're dealing with all these people in government, of course, the government, almost $36 trillion worth of debt right now, who are actually as technologically inept as they are socially. I mean, they didn't think that everybody would figure this out. I mean, again, it goes back to all these people who make these statements and then claim they never made the statements, and all the statements are on video, online, or on Twitter. These people are as technologically inept as they are socially inept. It's like I'm in charge of their technological operations. All right, Julie Kelly tweet, more on the Cheadle resignation. As I reported a few weeks ago, see, understand now, this resignation, of course, they wanted her to hang on because she's a controllable puppet, but now the resignation doesn't really affect their plot at all. Tom, what are you talking about, a plot? There is no way this was not a planned assassination from the deep state.
Yeah.
Let's just all get on. I mean, I know other people won't say it because there's no definitive proof. Well, listen, the galactic level of ineptitude, the galactic level of stupidity, the galactic level of just overlooking every possible, just blatantly obvious thing, it has to be. There's no way somebody is that galactically inept or galactically stupid. It has to be on purpose. There has to be a nefarious purpose behind it. That is proof in and of itself. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, just being that, you know, that stupid proves that there's some sort of nefarious purpose behind it. So not only do they now, Cheadle now, this resignation will be used for their benefit. I mean, they wanted her to stay, but now because they can use her in the cover-up, they've already got Ray covering it up. They already have Mayorkas covering it up. Most of the agents on scene there, only three of them were Secret Service agents outside of the SWAT team. They should have had 30 or 40 Secret Service agents on J-13. But they only had three. The rest of the people there were DHS agents, Department of Homeland Security agents, which are not highly trained. They're not Secret Service agents. They're not trained in protection. Nothing. They were just DHS agents there who were working directly for Alejandro Mayorkas.
Yeah.
So now Cheadle is out, so Mayorkas should resign also, because it was actually his agents that were there and were just as much running the show as the Secret Service. As I reported a few weeks ago, Secretary Mayorkas has been sitting on a DHS IG report expected to be highly critical of DHS Secret Service response to January 6th. Tom, this is about J-13. Well, Kim Cheadle had a very high-ranking position on January 6th. If I read it right, almost like operational control. She's involved in over 20 of the deleted text messages on that day. Mm. Oh, I think she says it on here anyway. Politico says report might be released this week. Cheadle was assistant director. There it is, right here. And I read them. I can't remember whether I'm going to read them on the show or not. Cheadle was assistant director of protective operations on January 6th. Assistant director of protective operations on January 6th. Her phone was one of two dozen subpoenaed by the J-6 committee. By all U.S. United States Secret Service texts related to January 6th were deleted in late January of 2021 for their data migration under Biden's watch and never recovered. So Cheadle is now out. And I just put together, so you have under the Biden administration, we lost our embassy in Afghanistan. We had the, so I'm wondering why all these other people haven't resigned. Well, Biden has now sort of resigned, but not really. So at the Afghanistan debacle, you had the Abbey Gate, you had the 13 soldiers killed at the Abbey Gate. With, again, there's always commonalities when you're dealing with Democrats. There's always commonalities. There's just galactic incompetence wherever you see it. And is it galactic incompetence or a purposeful plot? That's what you always have to ask.
Yeah.
So at the Abbey Gate, you had the Unabomber in the sights of a sniper. Mackenzie, Austin, and Millie were all warned 12 hours in advance that there would be a Unabomber on site at the Abbey Gate that blew up a couple hundred Afghanis and 13 of our servicemen and women. You had some of them speaking at the RNC. They knew 12 hours in advance, did nothing. It sounds very familiar to knowing about Thomas Matthew Crooks for 3 hours and do nothing in advance. Remember, everyone's saying 26 minutes. No, they had him trying to get into the gate with his rangefinder 3 hours in advance. Why was he not trespassed off the property? But anyway, I digress.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew 12 hours in advance the Unabomber's coming to the Abbey Gate. Then they had the sniper. I've got the guy. He had a vest full of dynamite on him, TNT on him. With a trigger, I can shoot him right now. Nobody would give him the okay. That's all under Mackenzie, Austin, and Millie. Then in the reprisal drone strike, where they killed a family of 10, seven which were minors, and then claimed, remember this now, and I know this is redundant for some of you, but you just have to understand the grand scheme of things is that J-13 is just another Democratic Party plot.
Yeah.
That's all that it is, a globalist plot by people of the Democratic Party controlled by the globalist. So then the Biden administration under Mackenzie, Milley, and Austin, and of course Joe Biden, they launch a drone strike on a family of 10, and then they kill all 10 people. The guy had a station wagon full of water.
Yep.
And then they claim they were asked, why was there so much collateral damage in the area? And they answered with, this is all in the media. This is all mainstream media. And if the media doesn't question them at all, because after it was looked into, what Milley said was it must have been all of the armaments and all the ammunition and all the extra TNT the guy was carrying. That's why there was so much damage around his house. And finds out that there was never any armaments. There's never any ammunition. It was just a drone strike itself that caused all the collateral damage around the house, killing 10 people for absolutely nothing. And then, of course, you have the disastrous Afghan withdrawal. And, you know, people always forget about Bagram. Trump was going to leave us. Bagram would have been our Guantanamo Bay for China.
Yeah.
We would be sitting a couple hundred miles off of the border of China with one of the most powerful Air Force bases on the planet and the most defensible There's no way China could ever take it. There's no way the Afghans could ever take it, even though Joe Biden overnight made them the 26th largest army on the planet by leaving $86 billion worth of our military high-tech equipment on the ground. But there's no way to take Bagram. There's no way to take it, folks. So he just left it, gave it to him, and now it's in the hands of the Chinese, as well as Afghanistan. It has tons of minerals needed for all of our devices and everything else that we use.
Yep.
So McKenzie, Austin, and Milley never resigned after that. 13 Americans dead. 13 Americans executed for absolutely no reason. Knew about it 12 hours in advance, had the sniper in their sights, and did absolutely nothing. Then you have Mayorkas' crime wave at the border, where you have 15,000 people crossing per day. Under Trump, 8,000 per month. Under Mayorkas, 15,000 per day. And he hasn't resigned. You've got the rapes. You've got the murders. 110,000 fentanyl deaths per year. Number one cause of death from people 18 to 30 now is fentanyl poisoning. And Mayorkas still has his job. And then Mayorkas also presided over the assassination attempt, because the DHS is over the Secret Service, and most of the agents on scene were not Secret Service agents, but DHS agents. Then Cheadle resigned. Buttigieg, you got East Palestine. He didn't resign.
No.
I mean, imagine presiding over blowing up a tanker full of toxic chemicals. What's it? Something chloride. Aaron will find it. Something
vinyl,
chloride.
Vinyl chloride. Yep.
So you preside over, you know, we got a great idea. This tanker has overturned, spilled all of its vinyl chloride into the ground, which, by the way, they never dug up. They just put the tracks back over it. So, and then they go, you know, we got a great idea. We got a tanker full of vinyl chloride, which is deadly. Let's blow it up and create a first mushroom cloud that's ever been formed of the United States of America. Let's do that. And he still has his job. And, of course, you've got Fauci and Collins and Burks, who perjured themselves, lied about masks, lied about vaccinations, lied about social distancing, lied about lockdowns, and caused a complete and total economic collapse and caused people to commit suicide because they lost their jobs and lost their businesses. They never resigned either. But all of this is under the Biden administration. All of this under the Biden administration. Plus, you have the true, they're not really true stats, but you can use them in sort of a statistical percentage sort of way. Where pre-vaccine rollout, you had 300,000 Americans died of COVID. Post-vaccine rollout, 900,000 Americans die of COVID. COVID. That's not even the excess death rate. That's just attributed to COVID. Right. I don't believe those numbers. I'm just telling you those are the numbers that the CDC puts out. Imagine defending a vaccine where pre-vaccine with the most virulent variant, the alpha variant, 300,000 people die, and then post-vaccine facing the least virulent variant, Omicron, you have 900,000 people die. And you still claim that everybody should get vaccinated. You should be in federal prison for the rest of your life, and you should have at least had to resign your job and lose your pension. All right, onward. Alex tweet, breaking. Secret Service officials are encouraging Donald Trump's campaign to stop scheduling large outdoor rallies. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? I mean, that's just really convenient. I mean, that's just wild, isn't it? Yep. It's just like the last time. How let's everybody answer the question. 1,012 people on. Everybody in the chat, let's answer the question. How did they discourage Donald Trump from doing large rallies last time? And did they discourage Donald Trump from doing large rallies 4 years ago, 15 days flat in the curve?
Mm-hmm.
What did they do last time? They unleashed the China virus. They released COVID-19 on everybody that Anthony Fauci funded through the EcoHealth Alliance, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, also funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which of course also massively contributed to Democrats. And I could go on and on and on with that, which I won't. But so lo and behold, 4 years later, Trump can't do big rallies again. He should do them anyway. He's hiring his own security. I'm just telling you, they always repeat themselves. They're not smart. They're just zealous. They're full of zeal, but these people are not smart. So lo and behold, they try to bankrupt them. Well, first they try to ban them. Then they try to bankrupt them. Then they try to prosecute them. And then they try to take them off the ballot. And then they try to shoot them. All those things failed. So now they're going to go after his rallies. Because Kamala Harris, just I'm going to let everybody know, she had her first rally. I could put it on here. But most of you couldn't take any more Kamala for the night after the pregame. You got 10 straight minutes in the pregame of Kamala Harris. So I couldn't do it to you anymore by giving you her speech excerpts from her first rally. Her first rally was in a gym.
Yes.
Running for the president of the United States.
Yes.
Her first rally is in a gym in Wisconsin, which has a maximum seating capacity of 3,000 people. That's what she's doing. Now what would she now really we all know Kamala Harris is running the show. So she's telling her Secret Service now, because it's not Joe's. I mean, come on, Joe's, it's weekend at Bernie's at this point. So I mean, come on, think about it. So now her Secret Service is telling Donald Trump, you know what? You know, Kamala, we hear her horrible, nasal voice. She starts talking like she tries to sound official. She goes nasal.
Yeah.
So she's now telling her Secret Service, tell Trump not to do big rallies because I can only fill a gym of 3,000. And by the way, it was full today, or it looked full. You know how they do the camera angles? Probably wasn't full. And I think it was probably like half cut off too. It's probably 1,500 people there. Yeah. Aaron knows.
Yep.
So it's like half cut off. So there's 1,500 people there. So she knows, and just watch those crowds get smaller and smaller.
Oh, yeah.
Because who in the world would go out of your way to listen to that woman just puke out and regurgitate globalist tropes? Who would do it? Aaron, go.
We need to stop the rallies, you know, because Donald Trump just has too many people.
You could do the screech laugh, but you're holding back because you're on the mic.
I know.
But anyway. All right, let's go to the next one, Heather. Legislation tweet. Harris campaign allegedly using Act Blue for money laundering scheme. What a shock. This is brand new. Brand new. By the remember she raised $81 million, I think it was, $81 million in a 24-hour period?
Yeah.
World record amount, $81 million. Reports indicate, though, that $20 million of that came from Swiss billionaire Hans Borg, or Hans Jorg Weiss, was broken down into 1.6 million donations. Now, leave this up. So let me explain to you what this is. This is what they've been doing for a while. And you can go to OMG, which is James O'Keefe Media. And you can, it was O'Keefe Media Group. So it's OMG. You can go there, and they actually tracked Act Blue donations, Democratic Party donations, where they were going up to people's doors and saying, are you aware that you've given to the Democratic Party 48 times in the last 3 years? With the total amount of $27,000, and the people are sitting there going, no. And you're like, well, they ripped off? No, they weren't ripped off. This is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's fraud, but it wasn't theft. So they didn't. What they did was they're breaking down all of these contributions, because you're only allowed to give a certain amount from one individual. Can't remember what that number is, but it's a certain amount from one individual. Obviously, you can't give 20, can't go to the campaign itself. You can give to super PACs. Like, you got Elon Musk donating $49 million a month to Donald Trump. Good luck keeping up with that, Dems. But anyway, so you're not allowed to give in certain lump sums directly to the campaign. So what they're doing is fraudulently attributing these donations to unwitting, unknown people that have no idea that they're now on the list of Democratic Party campaign donors. That's what they're doing. $3,300 per candidate. There you go. Aaron just gave it to me. Directly to their campaign. Yep. And one-time gifts. I think you can do it a couple times within a certain amount of time.
I think it's per year, actually.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, so reports indicate that $20 million from Swiss billionaire Hans Borg Weiss was broken down into 1.6 million donations across 400,000 donors. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Raising serious questions about the legitimacy of these contributions. Similar allegations have surfaced before. Act Blue has faced scrutiny for its donor verification process. Actually, have been caught cheating before. But there's more to this article. Go to legislation on Twitter. So that's one. Let's go to the next one. States where Biden's name can't be removed and no one can be added. That's over 130 electoral college votes in the 12. What does that have to do with the first one, Tom? I just want to show you how they're cheating. Now, how are they going to get Biden? Now, listen, this is federal freaking law, FEC law right here. You cannot put Kamala Harris's name on the ballot in Alabama, Indiana, Michigan. Look at the swing states. Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Washington. So at minimum four swing states, Kamala Harris cannot be legally put on those ballots.
Yep.
So how are they going to get around this? Now, what should we do? Don't let them do it. You're like, no, you know, we that would look desperate. Listen, folks, we are in, that's the war that we're in. They're going to cheat.
Yes.
We have to use every measure. If we want to win by 2%, we actually have to win by 7%.
Yeah.
So because not all the voter fraud mechanisms have been taken care of. Not all the voter fraud mechanisms have been eradicated. So this needs to be fought. The ballot deadline has passed for several states. So, tough luck. either run Joe or run Kamala and she doesn't get on these nine states. That's your option.
Yep.
I saw Joe allegedly getting off the plane. He looks like he could run.
Let him run.
He's still right. Run, Joe, run. I'll go ahead and admit I was wrong because I said Gavin Newsom was going to run. I'll admit I was wrong. No problem whatsoever because really, I'd rather have Joe, of course, than Gavin or Kamala. But I'm just saying, but I mean, Trump will destroy both of them if it's an honest and fair election. But these need this needs to be fought in the courts. We need to go ahead and litigate this. Anybody who doesn't want to, I'm hoping Laura Trump from the RNC is on top of this. This needs to be fought. Don't let them on the ballot. You don't get to defraud 14 million Americans who voted for Joe Biden and just supplant him with Kamala Harris.
No.
With no repercussions. On what? Sunday. So what was the date on Sunday, Aaron? The 19th, 20th, something like that?
The 21st.
Yeah, 21st on Sunday. So there you go. Yeah, today's only, what, 23rd?
23rd.
Yeah, so it's only Tuesday. Mondays are running together. But anyway, you can't just kick off of the ballot a person that 14 million people voted for and just put on whoever you want.
Yeah.
There's repercussions to that. Those repercussions are you don't get on nine states' ballots. Sorry, the ballots are already printed.
Oops.
It's already done. So now we all need to watch, how are they going to cheat? Now, it's going to be easy for them to cheat in some of these states, like Washington. But Pennsylvania has a Republican legislature. New Mexico's probably mixed. Minnesota's mixed. And Michigan is mixed. So we'll see. All right, go to the next for me, Heather. The post-millennial tweet. Breaking. Trump campaign files FEC complaint against Biden and Harris over transfer of campaign funds. This is a new one. This has nothing to do with the first two things I read to you. Here's the post-millennial article, an excerpt of it. Kamala Harris is seeking to perpetrate, this is from the Trump attorneys, a $91.5 million heist of Joe Biden's leftover campaign cash. You can't do that. That violates the, if you can't have Joe Biden's campaign give a $91 million donation to the Kamala Harris campaign.
No.
It is illegal. It is an FEC violation. How are they going to get around these things? And if they do get around them, we need to write them all down and everybody involved gets prosecuted once we run the DOJ. And hopefully Mike Davis is the attorney general. Kamala Harris is seeking to perpetrate a $91.5 million heist of Joe Biden's leftover campaign cash, a brazen money grab that would constitute the single largest excessive contribution and biggest violation in the history of the Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971, as amended. David Warrington, the Trump campaign's general counsel, wrote in the complaint per New York Times, he said that Biden and Harris were flagrantly violating the act by making and receiving an excessive contribution of nearly $100 million. I think that's over 3,300. Joe Biden, feel free. You can give Kamala Harris 3,300. But 100 million is a little over
3,300. Yeah.
Nearly $100 million. And for filing fraudulent forms with the commission purporting to repurpose one candidate's principal campaign committee for the use of another candidate. Blatantly illegal, needs to be fought in court. Don't give them an inch. And for all the weak-kneed, spineless, squishy rhinos out there, they're like, no, you know, we just want to let everybody just run. No, they don't let us run. These are the people trying to remove from Maine, remember? From Maine was one state. What was the other state? Can't remember. It was Iowa, Nebraska. Can't remember one of the state. No, it wasn't those. I can't remember. But the two states where they're trying to remove Trump off the ballot, lost 9-0 Supreme
Colorado.
Court. Was it Colorado?
I think Colorado.
I can't remember, but I don't want to say. See if you can find on there, so we're accurate. But anyway, so Maine was one. Just try to find out. It was the first one that Maine jumped on board. So these are the people that just a few months ago were trying to remove Donald Trump off the ballot of their states. Remember? So if you fight those people using conventional terms or conventional means, you're a fool. Matter of fact, you're not just a fool. You're an idiot. Because that's no longer the war. That's saying, you know what? Yes, I know they're going to nuke me, but I'm only going to use conventional weapons. That's how stupid it would be. If Russia launched nuclear weapons or China or Iran or whatever, launched nuclear weapons at us, we go, you know, we're not going to participate in that. We're only going to use conventional war because that was what we all signed up for at the Geneva Convention. No. You have to fight fire with fire, period. All right, let's go, Aaron.
It was Colorado, Maine, Illinois, Arizona, Alaska, Nevada, and New Jersey that tried to.
Holy moly. I thought it was two. Okay, yeah. I forgot. I remember some of those now, but not all of them. Wow, I didn't even know that. So there you go. You cannot fight people trying to remove you off the ballot by allowing them to be on the ballot in nine states and not fighting their campaign finance violation. Put these people in prison. These are felonies. What did they just try Trump for? They just, remember, it's 34 felony convictions for $130,000 to Stormy Daniels that they didn't even know about. Remember that?
Yep.
34 felonies. So now they're $130,000. Now we're dealing with $100 million and you're not going to prosecute them? I mean, you cannot be a squishy Republican. We're going to fight fair. There is no fair fight to fight.
Yeah.
This is a street brawl. This is bring your street weapons. Bring whatever you got. This is a street war. Symbolically speaking, Facebook, you idiots. Hey, Facebook and YouTube. But anyway, so here's another one for you. Just throwing this one in here for fun. Kamala Harris tweet. Remember this. Now, she's still on this, by the way. She hasn't pulled herself off this. She's still on this, and I'm going to show you something else with this in just a minute. If you're able to chip in now, this is the Minnesota Freedom Fund, to help post bail for people that were looting during the George Floyd riots. You know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, where George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's what he died of. Not being strangled to death. But all the people that burned down Minneapolis, St. Paul, and all of the other places that were burned to the ground, whether it's Washington, D.C., or Kenosha, Wisconsin, all those different places that were burned to the ground, she's still part of this. She's never taken this down. She's still raising funds for the Minnesota Freedom Fund to bail out looters and thieves and arsonists. That's who this woman is, and that's who now is running for president. All right, let's go to this one. Now, let's do the latest on the shooting. This is viral. Most of you probably already seen it. This is breaking 9/11 video. Breaking body cam footage. You got to listen closely there because there's background noise. You can hear it clearly if you turn up your volume. But body cam footage from roof. This is right after the shooting. You can actually see Crooks' bloody body. It's quite the trail of blood running off the, what's the pitch of the roof?
112.
Aaron? 112 roof.
Yeah.
There's a river of blood running off of the roof. From Crooks, his body, you can actually see his feet there and some blood running off the roof. It's actually a river, so it's easy to see. So you see him on there. This is body cam footage from right after the shooting, probably the mysterious guy in the gray suit that everybody's been talking about, talking here and collecting as much evidence as he could or whatever from, it looks like, all local cops, maybe Secret Service police. There is Secret Service police, which is like the SWAT, and then there's Secret Service agents, but again, I digress. Officer says Secret Service sniper took multiple photos of Thomas Crook before shooting. Really wasn't the Secret Service sniper who took the pics. That's what Breaking 9/11 is reporting. It was actually the local police that were taking pictures of the sniper and were reporting it to the Secret Service, and the Secret Service did nothing. But don't worry. It's all just coincidental, and it was all just ineptitude. That's all that it was. It was misfeasance, not malfeasance. It was just a bunch of systemic mistakes over and over and over again. So here it is, Breaking 9/11 video. Play for me, Heather.
All right, so we don't know. So this is the guy that they sent
Beaver County sniper team has sent the pictures out. This is him.
Okay. All
right. Rifle right there, obviously.
Got it. So the bike in the back, is he on that bike?
We don't know.
So you're just treating that as suspicious device.
Oh, one second. I believe the sniper that seen these and sent the pictures is right inside this building. Michelle, is Greg in there? All right, so if you go to that window that's open and yell for Greg, that's the sniper that sent the original pictures and seen him come from the bike and set the book back down and then lost sight of him.
Okay.
He's the one that sent the pictures out. I don't know if you got the same ones I did.
I think I did, yeah. He's like got his glasses on and he's...
So we had the picture of that.
I got that.
This is his bike with the stuff. And our sniper seen him walking away from that, I believe.
Okay.
But he would be right inside that window. He's the one that physically seen this, sent the pictures, and called it out.
Okay, so.
So pictures are being sent of a, I mean, come on, think about the galactic composition. There's no way anybody's this incompetent. It has to be a purposeful plot where you have pictures being, whoever they were sent to, pictures are being sent from one law enforcement agency to the other.
Yeah.
In my opinion, from this is just my opinion. In my opinion here, it's going to be validated by this next video. You had local. They had on Crooks's roof there again. This is I should actually have Aaron make a giant diagram of it all, not a Venn diagram because that's what Kamala Harris loves. But anyway, a diagram of the entire crime scene where you can see how the whole system works. You have Crooks on the pitch 112 roof. There's two of those roofs, and in the middle of those roofs is a two-story building that connects those two roofs. In that two-story building, cops, local cops, people mistake this all the time. Local cops were on the second floor, 40 feet away from Crooks. The people in that building were taking pictures of Crooks. And it was either them or it was another sniper team taking pictures of Crooks and relating it to the Secret Service, and they did nothing. What would I mean, again, Crooks was also yeah, that's good, Aaron. Crooks was also easily seen by the Secret Service snipers, the actual sniper response team behind Trump. Why wasn't he automatically shot? They saw him. Why was he not automatically shot? All right, let's go to the next one. Nanley Marie Karasimi video. Sniper info relayed to Secret Service 20 minutes prior to Trump taking stage. Play it for me.
The slope of the roof, would that have prevented a sniper from being up there?
I don't believe so, sir.
I stood on that roof. No problem standing on that roof. And yes, I am 7 years old. They thought that Mr. Brooks was so suspicious that they actually pulled the ESU counter snipers away. And from what I understand the timeline, it's about 20 minutes before the president came out. Was that information relayed to the Secret Service?
I believe that it was.
Now, that second in command of the Pennsylvania State Police right there, that's who's actually testifying. So they knew about Crooks. It wasn't that, again, Cheadle and her lies or congressional testimony, that he was suspicious but not a threat. Again, if you are suspicious at a campaign rally, you are a threat. There is no normal police work, no normal police procedure of suspicious human beings at a political rally where you have secrets, where you have a Secret Service protectee on stage who's highly likely to receive an assassination attempt. So 20 minutes prior to Trump taking the stage, the Secret Service knew about Crooks. Now, what has to be determined is who sent those pictures and who were they sent from to who? Was it local police to the Secret Service? Was that the 20-minute notification? Because we know that Crooks was on the roof for 26 minutes. So what were those pictures sent from state police to local police to state police, or state police to the Secret Service? Or local police to the Secret Service, or was a Secret Service sniper sending them in to other Secret Service agents? I don't know. It is my opinion that if the Secret Service knew about Crooks 20 minutes before and the pictures were sent in 20 minutes before, then the Secret Service was notified via photographic evidence that you had a sniper or a suspicious person laying in a prone position on a 112 roof. 140 yards from the president of the United States.
Yeah.
So I don't know any of this for sure, but listen, I mean, they should all know this for sure now, because obviously on all our devices, if I take a picture of myself and send it to Aaron, it has a timeline on it.
Yeah.
So Trump took the stage at 6 o'clock. The assassination attempt was at 6:11. So it's very easy to tell when those pictures were sent to whomever they were sent to. But we do know that pictures of Crooks on the roof were sent from one law enforcement agency to the other. That we know. And you wonder why Kim Cheadle won't answer any questions. Because there's no way that anybody is that galactically incompetent. I know I'm using the word galactically a lot because that's the only word that can describe it. Because there's no way anybody can be that incompetent. It has to be nefarious. There has to be a plot. Nobody sends pictures of a man in a prone position with an AR-15 pointed at the stage where you have a protectee and does nothing. Nobody even, above all of this, Aaron, you can just roll those two, that's great. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but you talk to other, like Eli Crane, former sniper with the SEAL team, now a congressman. He says the very first thing he does when he walks onto that site is he goes up to the water tower and positions himself. Why is nobody on the water tower that's from the Secret Service? That can shoot anybody who has, again, the high ground. And you can shoot using a high-powered sniper rifle, including an AR-15. You can shoot somebody from 1,000 yards away.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you not on the water tower? He says, that's the first place I walk up and just set up. From an expert. All right, let's go to the next one. Liz Churchill video. This is actually an Ultra MAGA video, Ultra MAGA party video. Here's Eli Crane. I was a sniper in the SEAL teams. Colonel, that's the colonel that's from the state police. And this is just obvious, he states. Play for me.
I'm just going to say it. Are you aware, sir, that many Americans believe this was very likely not a lone shooter, but a coordinated assassination attempt? Have you been getting those messages from people like I have?
I have not, sir.
You haven't? Well, there's a lot of people in this room that have been getting the same messages. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that a lot of Americans are like, this doesn't add up, this doesn't make sense, guys? How could this many things have gone wrong, right? Like the things I pointed out, a 20-year-old kid, 150, got 150 yards of the President of the United States with an AR-15, flew a drone to conduct site surveillance, was spotted with a rangefinder, ranging targets, then lost, had advanced explosive devices on him with no military training. Nobody was placed in the most obvious spot to conduct counter-sniper operations. I was a sniper in the SEAL teams, Colonel. As soon as I got out of the SUV and I saw that sniper, that water tower, I was like, that's exactly where I'd be. Put me right there. So obvious. After partisan attempts to bankrupt him, imprison him for 750 years, and countless depictions as a modern-day Hitler, are you surprised, sir, that a lot of Americans are like, maybe there's more to this story?
I wouldn't begin to speculate about what the American people think, sir.
Colonel, did your team make entry and conduct investigation at the suspect's home prior to this shooting?
Excuse me, sir. I've asked that question.
Did your team make entry and conduct any investigation at the suspect's home?
I believe we had people that participated in that securing of it. There were bomb assets that we provided.
Mr. Chairman, can I have 30 more seconds?
Yeah, I'm letting everybody come.
Okay.
On the night of, since then, none.
Did you get any reports from any of your agents of anything fishy at the home?
I was briefed on.
Was there any silverware found in the home or trash?
I have nothing in the briefing that I was given, sir.
Was it extremely clean, almost like a medical lab? Were you given any of those reports?
I was not given any of those details, sir.
Okay, that's what I'm hearing. Interesting.
And again, I have a beef with this, and I'm not, I don't want to jump down the colonel's throat too much here, but why is it you can't just answer a question in a straightforward way? You're asked, did any of your officers search his home? And your answer is, I believe we had people. And then he says, we were there the night of the shooting. So why did you answer the first question, I believe we had people, and then you definitively answered, not 30 seconds later, that we had people there the night of?
Yeah.
Why can't you just answer, yes, we searched the home? I would.
Yeah.
Ask me anything, I'll give you a straightforward answer.
Yeah.
Anything. Tom, did you eat candy today? Yes. How much? A lot. I had about 7 bite-sized Twix bars today. Washed down with chocolate milk. I'll answer anything. Tom, do you believe that it's murder to abort a baby? Yes, I believe it's murder to abort a baby. Anything and everything. Tom, do you believe the Bible 100%? Yes, I believe the Bible 100%. There you go. I'll answer anything straightforward. I never answer questions like, I believe we had people. No, I don't even answer things about, about my faith with I believe. I say it is written.
Yeah.
Come on. It drives me absolutely crazy. Colonel Paris from the second in command of the Pennsylvania State Police. So they're at the suspect's home. And there's like obviously the rumors are getting back to Eli Kramer. It's absolutely spectacularly clean, just like all of his social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, you have this crooks guy who's like a Dungeons and Dragons dude who likes to try to impress people. He's a blowhard and everything else. Obviously has a social media footprint that no longer exists. That's weird. And his house is completely and totally wiped clean. No evidence of it. Wherever he lived, I know he lived with his parents, wherever he occupied in that house is completely spotless now, the night of the shooting. As if he left, somebody went there and cleaned it all up and deleted all of his social media platforms prior to the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see the timeline on when all of his social media platforms were deleted. I think Zuckerberg is slowly but surely being red-pilled by hanging around the UFC all the time because there ain't anybody but MAGA at the UFC. So maybe Zuckerberg will cooperate. He's refusing to endorse a Democratic Party candidate. You never know. I just hope for the best.
Yeah.
All right, so here's an Anthony Scott video. Fox News digital release. Here's Crooks' father. And notice, of course, I'm going to say it now because I don't want to do a long diatribe afterwards. Notice, of course, the person with him is wearing a mask in July of 2024, 4.5 years after 15 days to flatten the curve. Of course, the shooter's dad is morbidly obese with a giant grocery cart full of junk food and a skinny person wearing a mask. Of course, right? Play it for me.
Matthew, why would your son want to kill the president?
Back off.
No comment.
No comment.
Were there any warning signs, Matthew?
No comment.
How's Mary holding up?
No comment.
We'll release a statement when our legal counsel advises us to do so. Until then, we have no comment. We just want to try to take care of ourselves right now. So please, give us our space.
Have the feds...
So there you go. I mean, there's not a whole lot more to add to that, except, of course, they just meet the profile of a Democratic Party collaborator. All right, let me do Midas Gold real quick. And I talked to the person running Midas Gold today. They've been having some tech problems, and they seem to have had them resolved. So try them again if you tried and you weren't able to get a hold of them. They've had some tech problems, so give Midas Gold another shot. Midas Gold Group, MAGA-owned, MAGA-operated, veteran-owned, veteran-operated. Stick with me. This is only going to be 60 seconds long. Why do we all need to buy gold? Because we have people trying to destroy our currency. The Biden administration, now the Kamala Harris administration, will continue to do what the Biden administration has been doing, which is hyperinflate the currency to destroy the currency, to make us all dependent on the government, make us all dependent on the government handouts. You have the BRICS movement, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and other nations like Turkey joining on, where they are de-dollarizing the globe, devaluing the USD, and changing over global currency to the Chinese yuan, again, trying to destroy our currency. The people trying to destroy our currency, though, are all buying gold. So that means that what they're saying is once they destroy the dollar, the currency will be gold. So that tells you you need to buy gold. I'm buying gold. You buy gold. Buy it from a company that does not hate you. Greatest thing about Midas Gold is they deal in physical gold. You order your gold. You get physical gold in your hand. Not phantom gold accounts. Not phantom gold issuances and all those different things. You know, not some sort of credit. None of that. Physical gold in your hands, in your safe. Buy it from Midas. Buy it now. And when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. All right, let's move to the border, believe it or not. I wanted to show you this. Now, we're finally something other than the shooting. What's that countdown for?
That's for CTN.
All right, take that off. I don't care about that. All right, so anyway, here we go. Don't ever put on that big screen, buddy, because that just throws me off. All right. You guys aren't seeing what I'm saying. Sorry about the tech problems. But anyway, so I wanted to show you this. This was, of course, the graph that Donald Trump was looking at when he got shot in the face or the head, however you want to look at it when you talk about his ear. So I just wanted to show you this. I'm going to relate this back to Kamala Harris in just a minute and even some other things that I already talked about. So just look at that. See the big arrow on the bottom is when Trump left office. Look how good he did with illegal migration. He had the one bad year, which you've documented on the show, in 2019. But by the time he left office in early 2021, look at where illegal migration was. The lowest that it's been since the graph began. And who knows? I can't even say the lowest that it's been since whatever, because the graph doesn't include it because it's lower than anywhere on the graph. And look, now those are the true numbers. Look at the right side of this graph. That's the Biden and Harris administration. And we can pin every last one of these numbers, all the statistical data on who? The border czar herself, Kamala Harris, is responsible. Not Joe Biden. The border czar herself is responsible for these numbers. Look at these numbers in comparison. This looks like the excess death rate post-vaccination. look at these numbers. I'm not kidding. You look at all these different countries where they have an excess death rate of 30 or 40%, depending on the demographic. It looks like this. I mean, you look at this. Look at what they've done to us, whether it's excess deaths or whether it's illegal migration, which causes excess deaths because they're murdering and they're raping our citizens. Look at all this. I mean, look at those numbers. It's unbelievable. It truly is. And I wanted everybody to make sure that they knew what this graph said, because this is what Trump was pointing at when he got shot in the ear. Let's go to the next one. End wokeness tweet. 60. Now, this is what I was talking about. So, hey, see if you guys can find the Minnesota Freedom Fund thing for me one more time. Because this is what I wanted to correlate with you. Was you here you have end wokeness tweet. 61 posts. So you just saw that graph and those unbelievably horrible numbers. So that's, they obviously don't care about you and me. 15,000 illegal border invaders allowed into our country, unvetted, unchecked, not identified, we have no idea who they are. So okay, take that off and put the other one back on. Just keep that holster for me, Aaron. So in the midst of this, in this 15,000 per day border invasion, what does Kamala Harris, the border czar, care about? Tom, you're just attacking her because she's now the Democratic Party presidential nominee. That's correct.
Yeah.
It's attack time, baby. Call me racist all you want. I don't care. So while she's allowing those numbers to come in, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 17 million people by the time they leave office on the 20th of January of 2025, 17 million people will be allowed. Two New York cities will be allowed in this country. Unvetted, unidentified, have no idea what their backgrounds are, nothing, which of course caused Laken Riley to be raped and murdered. But anyway, had her head bashed in by two illegal migrants. That joke was specifically taken back, specifically traced back to border czar Kamala Harris's southern border that she left wide open. But while Laken Riley, she doesn't post one thing about Laken Riley, not one thing. Never called the family. Joe Biden never called the family. Never even apologized. Nothing. Listen, I've never screwed up that bad in my life, but I've done some serious screw-ups in my life. I always go and make sure that I apologize. No apologies, nothing. Nothing for Laken Riley. No visit, no phone call to her parents, nothing. No apologies, but 61 posts about George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
George Floyd, who was not killed by Derek Chauvin. I digress for just a minute. George Floyd was not killed by Derek Chauvin. In order for him to be killed by Derek Chauvin, which was still biologically impossible to strangle anybody to death with the knee on the back of their, with the knee on the back of the neck. It's been proven. And no neck injuries, didn't even have a neck bruise, had a 95% oxygenation rate at the moment of death. Therefore, he was not asphyxiated, i.e. strangled to death. So if he wasn't asphyxiated to death, then how did Derek Chauvin kill him? Can anybody answer that question? Again, how do you have a prone sniper on the roof and not be shot by the Secret Service sniper? None of this makes any sense at all. It's just run out and we're all forced to horse pill swallow it. It's all crap. He died. He had three times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his bloodstream. That's what killed him, caused him to have massive coronary heart failure. That's what happened. But not one phone call to Laken Riley's family, not one apology. She let in her murderers and rapists. She, Kamala Harris, let them in. And so not only does she put out 61 posts about George Floyd, go to that Minnesota, she put out, she's still, to this day, is raising money for, to bail out people who looted in the name of George Floyd, stole in the name of George Floyd, and committed arson in the name of George Floyd. She's still raising money for George Floyd to this day. All right, let's go to the next thing, wherever I'm at. Senate Republicans, is that where I'm at, Heather? All right, Senate Republicans video flashback. Kamala Harris tells Jake Tapper she endorses universal health care and Medicare for all illegal immigrants. Play it for me.
Must be addressed.
The bill also says, quote, every individual who is a resident of the United States is entitled to benefits for health care services under this act. Not every individual who's a citizen, but every individual who's a resident.
Mm-hmm.
So you support giving universal health care, Medicare for all, to people who are in this country illegally?
Let me just be very clear about this. I am opposed to any policy that would deny in our country any human being from access to public safety, public education, or public health, period.
You're asked point blank again. It just drives me crazy. If you asked me, Jake Tapper asked you, so you are in favor of giving full universal Medicare coverage to all illegals? Yes or no? Everybody in the chat, you can answer that question. Yes or no? Are you in favor of giving full Medicare coverage or full medical coverage to all illegal aliens that illegally cross our southern border? Are you in favor of that? Very simple answer to that question. Abso-freaking-lutely not. I am not in favor of that at all. Tom, are you in favor of everybody owning an AR-15? Yes. I mean, it's right. And she goes, let me be very clear. I oppose any legislation that would take away people's medical rights or including people who are illegal. So you are in favor of it, but refuses to answer that she's in favor of it. That just drives me nuts. So she is in full favor, and she will put into legislative place. It already is, by the way. We're already all paying for it. That's why we're $36 trillion in debt. It's because we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars per year on illegal migrant, illegal border invader benefits of all sorts, whether it's rent, whether it's food cards, whether it's transgender surgeries. She's in favor of every last bit of that. All right, let's go to the next one. I love this name on Twitter. Terrible tweet. Rep Andy Ogles has introduced articles of impeachment. You're like, some of you are like, that's overkill. No, it's not. There's no such thing as overkill when you're dealing with people who only deal with in overkill. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as overkill with people who overkill. You have to overkill back. Every single Democratic Party, whether it's administrative official or politician that commits an impeachable offense, we need to impeach them whether they're found guilty or not. Because Donald Trump was exonerated in both impeachments, but they still call him the twice impeached president. So we could always say to Alejandro Mayorkas, impeach him again. So he's already been impeached. The impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, impeach him again. Now we can say the twice impeached, because it doesn't matter whether you're convicted or not. You still carry around that you were impeached. Richard Nixon was never convicted. He resigned before he could be convicted, but he's still called the impeached president. So that's the game. That's the rules. We need to play by their rules. So Ogles has introduced articles of impeachment against Kamala Harris for her willful refusal to uphold immigration laws. What are the immigration laws? I mean, they're very complex, aren't they? Very complex. You know what the immigration laws are? You can't illegally enter the country. Those are the immigration laws. You can't cross our border without our permission, period. You can't illegally migrate into this country. That's the way that it is. I mean, all the people in this room right now, there's five of us in this room. It would be harder for us to re-enter this country than it is for a Haitian to enter this country on one of Joe Biden's illegal border invasion 747 flights. And misleading the public on the cognitive well-being of Biden. She's been saying for months, Pelosi's been saying for months, Schumer's been saying for months, the DNC's been saying for months, all the idiot pundits on Twitter and all the idiot pundits on mainstream media have been saying for months that Joe Biden's the sharpest he's ever been. Remember Scarborough? This is the best version of Biden ever. Yep. He said that like 5 months ago. This is the best version of Biden ever. Goebbels media, Mockingbird media, and she needs to be impeached for lying to the American public for months. When we're sitting there, we have weekend at Bernie's at the White House, and has been lying to us about it. All right, let me show you this now. I'm going to show you little pieces of this. We need to all be aware of something. I'm already eight minutes into overtime, so I'm going to keep this short. We need to be aware of, it's like I tell you to buy from Midas Gold because they're a MAGA-owned, MAGA-run company, veteran-owned, veteran-operated company. So I tell you, we need to know who we're buying from. Robbie Starbuck has been doing these investigations into what we believe to be conservative companies. And we're going to look at two of them tonight. I don't know if I'm going to run all of these videos, may cut them short. But is John Deere a conservative company? Wouldn't you think that a company that sells tractors would be conservative? I mean, wouldn't you think that? I mean, I just forgot the name of it. What's that? Farm Supply? What's it called?
Tractor Supply.
Tractor Supply. Yep. Tractor Supply. You think they were conservative, right? Robbie Starbuck revealed that Tractor Supply was not conservative at all. Their whole main corporate office decked out in rainbows. Mm-hmm. They have transgender policies, transgender trainings, pronoun trainings. I'm talking about real trainings. You got to go and learn how to use people's applicable pronouns. At Tractor Supply, Robbie Starbuck exposed them. And like a week later, they sent out a memo to the world We have removed all of our DEI classes, all of our DEI qualifications, all of our trans trainings, all of our pronoun trainings, and Tractor Supply is now conservative again. So let's look at two companies tonight. I won't tell you what the second one is, but here's the first one. John Deere, Robbie Starbuck writes on the title of his video, "Welcome to John Deere's LGBTQ plus ally pledge. I'm sure farmers are going to be really big fans of this, so let's make sure they all see it." Play for me.
"I contribute to John Deere's respectful workplace culture, which promotes a safe and inclusive environment for all, especially since LGBTQ employees might not have a safe and inclusive environment outside the workplace.
I know what the term sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression mean, and I recognize that the person's identity may stay the same or change over time.
I respect a person's identity, name, and the information that they share with me without making assumptions.
I acknowledge that while there are ways for me to voluntarily share my pronouns, I recognize that not everyone may be comfortable sharing theirs, and it is not required that they do so.
I use inclusive language in conversations and do not make assumptions about others' gender identities and sexual orientation.
I understand that I and others may make mistakes. Allyship is not a destination, but a journey. Growth and learning are part of my efforts and involvement.
I seek to be a lifelong learner and support the LGBTQ community by educating myself about legal and cultural discrimination throughout the world.
I will show visible support to the LGBTQ community by displaying symbols of allyship, such as the ally badge, safe space magnet, etc.
I will speak up when people use non-inclusive language, and I will report discriminatory or harassing behaviors, such as inappropriate jokes, in alignment with the company's global policy against discrimination and harassment.
I will advocate for policies that protect and support the LGBTQ community and against policies that discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression.
I encourage others to sign this ally pledge and continue to educate themselves on ways to support the LGBTQ community by leveraging Rainbow ERG.
That's John Deere, everybody. You know, how many times is John Deere mentioned in country music songs? That is John Deere now. They have yet to repent of their ways. They've been exposed by Robbie Starbuck. They haven't repented like Tractor Supply has. That's who they actually are. It reminds me of the Republican Party. And again, let me make sure everybody's clear on this. I am a Republican, been a registered Republican my entire adult life. I am voting down ballot Republican, starting with Donald J. Trump. However, I know that most of the Republican Party are spineless, lying worms.
Yep.
They are a bunch of cowards, like Mike Johnson, people like that. They campaign one way and legislate another. Same thing with John Deere. They actually campaign one way and legislate another. They tell you that they're conservative, but they're actually rotten globalist liberals. Not even liberals, they're rotten globalist leftards. Trans promoting, pronoun promoting, gay reporting, a gay promoting leftist. That's who John Deere actually is. They present themselves as a conservative company, present themselves as a lyric in a country music song, but they are actually the opposite of America. And do you notice all the accents in there and the guy who is dressed up as a girl? Now listen. This is John Deere's promoted material. They made that on purpose. Everybody in there was reading a script off a teleprompter. That was part of their training. This isn't something that somebody went in like Matt Walsh and just interviewed these people. These are people from John Deere. This is what is not only allowed in John Deere. This is promoted. This was actually produced by John Deere.
Yeah.
And did you notice all the accents? I wonder if John Deere isn't even owned by Americans anymore. So let's look at this one, another viral video. This is from George. George, who we had on the podcast last Friday. That was one of my favorite podcasts of all time. George is awesome. Follow him on Twitter, one of the best. He's got 200 and something thousand followers on Twitter. Breaking, Elon Musk reveals that he vowed to destroy the woke mind virus after it killed his son. His son Xavier became transgender. He was not talking about his son. He's not talking about his son's physical death. He was talking about his son's identity death. Play for me, Heather.
It happened to one of my older boys, where I was, essentially tricked into signing documents for one of my older boys, Xavier. This is before I had really any understanding of what was going on, and we had COVID going on, and so there was a lot of confusion. You know, I was told, oh, Xavier might commit suicide if he.
That was a lie right from the outset.
Incredibly evil, and I agree with you that people that have been promoting this should go to prison.
That's
so I was tricked into doing this, it wasn't explained to me that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason.
Yeah, I...
All right, the reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. So my son Xavier is dead, killed by the woke mind virus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, and there's lots of people in that situation now.
Right.
It's not pretty. And lots of demolished kids.
Yes.
Yeah, so, well, that's a good reason to be the final straw. All right, so let's...
So I vowed to destroy the woke mind virus after that. And we're making some progress.
Join the club.
Yeah.
And now you're wondering why Elon Musk got red pill, because his son no longer exists. And you just have to think of the logic behind it. How in the world could you ever give somebody puberty blockers, which are sterilization drugs that they give to rapists, that there's no long-term studies on, which I've already played the video at where we had CDC officials talking about puberty blockers on Capitol Hill, being interviewed by Marco Rubio, and there's absolutely no studies about the long-term ramifications of injecting kids with puberty blockers. I mean, I don't mean to be gross, but how about we just block everybody pooping and peeing? How would that work? I mean, think about it. We're gonna give you poop blockers. How's that going to work? You're going to explode in a week. We'll give you you don't block God's natural bodily functions. You don't just inject people with drugs and block them. I mean, think about the logic behind that ever being comprehensible that would ever work. Like that you're gonna change somebody's sex by blocking their puberty. And these are the experts. Again, these are the experts that tell you to put masks on, stand 6 feet apart, and buy an electric vehicle to save the world. These are the experts. So here's another one for you. And this is why Elon Musk is being red-pilled. That's why he needs to release more of the Twitter files. There's still more for him to release. But why he's given $40+ million a month to Donald Trump, why he endorsed Donald Trump, because he's understanding that he was lied to about COVID. His son started to go on those puberty blockers during the whole COVID debacle, which just opened Pandora's box to all left-hard ideological ideas. All in one fell swoop, what ushered in CBDC, social credit systems via the vaccine passport infrastructures. So enough time, man. I got some vaccine stuff I've got to show you. I've got to get to it at some point. Just too much news breaking loose right now. But I want to do something different because I do a lot of vaccine stuff. But anyway, here's Robbie Starbuck again. Title of this one is "It's Time to Expose." Here's the second company. It's going to break your heart now. It's going to break your heart. Time to expose Harley Davidson. Can you believe it? Play for me, Heather.
Y'all, this may be the most shocking expose that I've done simply because the brand is so out of alignment with their customers. This is Harley Davidson. It's time for them to be exposed. In Harley's words, they are all in on diversity and inclusion. Now, let's take a look at what that means. I wonder how many Harley riders are aware that Harley Davidson is a platinum founding member of the LGBT Chamber of Commerce in Wisconsin. This is the same chamber that says on behalf of the businesses that are a part of the Wisconsin LGBT Chamber, they have opposed banning transgender sex changes for children. Harley-Davidson even hosted an LGBTQ plus boot camp at their corporate offices, and look at that sweet cake they got them. Isn't that just so inclusive? Here's a closer look at that cake for all you Harley riders out there. So who's Harley-Davidson's CEO? Well, it's another CEO that was placed right around COVID.
Jochen Zeitz is an unusual choice to lead Harley-Davidson. He's German. He's an outspoken climate activist.
The businessman who uses his millions to change opinions on climate change. Are you getting Harley-Davidson vibes yet?
In 2030, that we should be completing that total transformation of the company.
If his goal is the total transformation of Harley-Davidson, well, he's well on his way. They sponsored this LGBTQ plus pride event where they had a rage room. And I am not joking, something called a rage room to, quote, let off steam. It was located right next to the story time area for children to interact with drag queens and the play catch with a dad for all those who had daddy issues. In Harley's so-called sustainability report, they also say that their 1,800 global employees completed a virtual training to learn what an ally is to the LGBTQ plus community, and that employees also participated in an engaging and interactive learning session that allowed them to explore social identities, both seen and unseen. We all know what that means. And then again, in honor of National Coming Out Day, employees attended a virtual session featuring Sandy Eichel. Let's see who Sandy is.
Sandy Eichel is not your typical financial services speaker. Once a Lutheran pastor's wife, a professional opera singer, and a consummate perfectionist, Sandy had the picture-perfect life. But inside, she was miserable. So she chose a new last name, a new career, and a whole new life and mindset, which elevated her to the top of her profession.
We have to change our culture, and we need to do it quickly.
In their sustainability report, their CEO also brags about their 90 out of 100 HRC CEI score. This score is one I've explained many times before, but essentially is the Trojan horse that pushes all these left-wing values into corporations. And this score begs the question, is Harley-Davidson's health plan covering the transition of children? That's one of the metrics that the HRC CEI score judges. And if you're a Harley-Davidson dealer, guess what? They've got a plan for you heading into 2032. They want to increase the diversity across the global dealer network at both the staffing and owner-operator levels. That's a fancy corporate speak way of saying less white people. I think it's important to note at this point that the CEO of Harley-Davidson is making almost $12 million a year while making these changes. In Harley-Davidson's sustainability report, they also brag that their legal department participated in the American Bar Association's 21-day challenge. Through 21 days of short readings and videos, the challenge encourage participants to step out of their comfort zones to acquire greater racial literacy and inspire engagement in the fight against racial inequality. So let's take a look at what's in that challenge. It promotes the widely debunked and racist 1619 Project. It promotes a radical book called Black Panthers and White Lies. It promotes the idea that climate change is harming expectant black mothers. And they promote Marxist Ibram Kendi, who says you can't be an anti-racist unless you're anti-capitalist. This training also supports illegal immigration. And it supports the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization. That's not all, though. This training also makes the case for reparations. Harley-Davidson sponsored York County Pride. Here's some photos. Totally normal stuff. I'm not even sure what's going on here. Celebrating Pride Month is not enough for Harley-Davidson, though. Under their new CEO, they also made March and February months of inclusion. Don't worry, though, because they never miss Pride Month. They also brag in their sustainability report that they support the HRC's call for the Equality Act to be passed. So what is the Equality Act? The Equality Act is a lot like naming a bill, vote yes if you want to save puppies act, and then inside the bill, it actually mandates that you kill puppies. The Equality Act, in reality, has nothing to do with equality. It's about stripping women of their spaces and allowing men into bathrooms and locker rooms. So you can expect to see more bathroom assaults like this. For all you Harley riders out there, I want to be explicitly clear. Harley-Davidson supporting the Equality Act being passed means that they support boys competing against your daughters in sports, stripping them of their championships, their opportunities, and their scholarships. It also means that they support men following your daughter into the bathroom, and your daughter is supposed to shut up and be okay with it.
So just going back to front there, so Harley-Davidson is in favor of men following in your 12-year-old daughter into a bathroom. That's Harley-Davidson. Has anybody ever been, you put in the chat, have you ever been to Sturgis? I've been to Sturgis one time. Okay, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was nothing but Trumpsters riding around on Harleys, whether they were in gangs or not. Everybody there was carrying an American flag or a Don't Tread on Me flag, whatever it may be. That's all that it was. Selling patriotic stuff. The shops were unbelievable. We bought t-shirts and stuff, and the food was unbelievable too, but everybody there riding a Harley was all Trumps, all buying Harley-Davidsons. Do they know, all those Trumpsters buying Harley-Davidsons, that Harley-Davidson wants 47-year-old men with taped-up penises and testicles twerking in front of 8-year-old girls? Do they know that? Because that's what Harley Davidson promotes. They promoted National Coming Out Day. Harley freaking Davidson promotes National Coming Out Day and never misses Pride. And their new German CEO, Jakob Zietz, we have our ways. That's who runs Harley Davidson for $12 million a year, who promotes the 1619 Project, which is communism, which is all bold-faced lies. And Ibram X. Kendi, another communist, bold-faced liar who wants less white people, which basically Harley Davidson has put down as their one of their corporate goals is to have less white people. That's who Harley Davidson is. Now, on the less white people thing, I just have to address this. This is really funny. Put the next one up for me. This is a funny graph. I usually don't put these type of graphics on the show, but I just found this to be hysterical. So white men, according to the women and men on this picture, Kamala Harris, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Don Lemon, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Lori Lightfoot with the man next to her in a lesbian relationship. So they all say their beliefs are all that they all believe that white men are the most dangerous threat to America, but every last one of them is either married to a white man or married to a white woman who looks like a white man or is dating a white man. Kamala Harris, married to a white man. AOC, dating a white man. Lori Lightfoot, really, for all intents and purposes, married to a white man who's, why, in these gay relationships, why does everybody take a role then? If you're gay and you're actually attracted to women, then why do you have your woman look like a man?
Yeah.
I never understand how they take on traditional roles. You're in a lesbian relationship. One's a bull dyke and the other one is a feminine woman. If you're the feminine woman, why don't you just go out with a dude? Never get it. Ketanji Brown Jackson, married to a white man. Don Lemon, married to a white man. I hate to say that. Ilhan Omar, this one is not her brother. This is not her brother this time. This is one of her campaign advisors that she gave $3 million to, which is legal. She's married to a white man this time, I believe her third husband, not her brother this time. So I just had to show you that. Now, in celebration, I always look for an excuse to play this video. And you're like, Tom, it makes no sense in the show. I know. This is just purely a guilty pleasure from the Blaze. I can't pass it up because I hear like the German accents of the person that's now running Harley Davidson, Jakob Zietz. It just popped into my head, German accent, so it just made me play my favorite video. Play it for me.
President of the EU, not a scary organization at all. I've always loved the European Union, haven't you? Just the precursor to one world government. It's awesome. And to hear the president of the EU explaining how you in Europe can get your life back to normal in that German accent she has, that just sounds so soothing to me. Here's what she says is important to get your life back here. Here she comes.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you? Good to see you.
Before Easter, we promised to the Europeans that we will do everything possible so that they can gain back some normality when planning for their well-deserved summer holidays. So on Monday, the European Parliament and the European Council signed the regulation for the EU Digital COVID Certificate. Oh, it is applicable from the 1st of July on. But if you want to, as a member state, you can sign up early, voluntarily. And that's what Belgium did.
Belgium did it.
As of today, to travel with a certificate. Mm-hmm. And they issue
travel
these
with their certificate.
And here is mine. So everyone who is fully vaccinated or tested negative or has recovered from COVID can get one. And we have right now 15 member states that have already signed up. And from the 1st of July, all 27 member states have to apply these EU digital certificates for the COVID. I am
planning now to start my tour through 27 member states for the Next Generation EU, our recovery and resilient plan. And I'm very curious to test and to see how this certificate will work. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
All right.
That is now, great.
She held hers up. Can I just take a picture of that? And can I use hers?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So essentially what she's saying is you must have your papers. They'll be digital, but you must have some. The other ways of making you have your papers, please.
And now, basically, Ursula von der Leyen is running Harley-Davidson, just so you know. And just came out in the EU. The EU just put out that all cars being built over the next 10 years have to have a driver identification system, which the cars are use facial recognition from inside the car to identify you.
Oh, my word.
That's all was put into place by Ursula von der Leyen. Ursula von der Leyen! Her COVID vaccine passport infrastructure.
It's a COVID.
Put all that. It's a COVID. Put that all into place. All right. Oh, man. It was 10:30. I was trying to break, not make it to 10:30. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. I'll be in the chat during the post game. It's an awesome post game. Got the John Rich song in the post game tonight. Got to hear it. It's awesome. But anyway, love you. Back here tomorrow night, as usual. 9 o'clock, don't miss it. Almost 1,100 people still on right now, but stick around. Post game's very short. It's all videos. I'm done talking, so you don't have to listen to me blither on and on anymore. Oh, I'm trying to get past. I'm trying to actually keep my word and be under 10:30, which my word was initially under 10:15. So I still have never kept my word yet, except for on the RNC nights. But anyway, love and appreciate each and every one of you guys. Talk to you in the chat. Stick around for the post game. God bless you. That if you did what God wanted you to do every day, for years, you would never see your prayers go unanswered. And I mean specifically. I don't mean, well, yeah, they were answered, but it really wasn't what I wanted, so I'm getting the deep meaning out of it. No! I'm talking about specifically what you want. If you did what you're supposed to do every day for years, they would get all of your prayer requests and all the answers would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger just sitting under the Word of God. There's nobody. I tried that. You didn't try it but for a week. You didn't try it but for a month. You didn't try it but for a year. You go to anybody who's done it year after year after year. They, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, never stumble. Never.
If you love to worship, this will be your kind of night. Please join us for Crave, a Night of Worship, on Friday, July 26th, starting at 6:30 p.m.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.